That's a good plan right there, brother.
Amen. Ain't it good to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to call on Brother Joey. If you don't mind, will you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
We ask that you be with those that have mentioned prayer requests, even those that have to work, you have any needs. Be with our Brother Steve, as he prepares to bring this message, Lord, and just be with us so that we can apply his words and what we learn here today to our lives. Protect us and guide us as we prepare to be here for the day, Lord, and take these words with us, Lord.
Amen. Y'all can be seated. I'm going to get me a little posse to come up here together right now. Brother Michael and both Pams. I need both Pams. And Vanessa, and let's see, Brother Mark, you can come up, and need everyone that can help me on this song, and shout to the Lord. Does everybody know this song? And we'll probably stand up and sing this song too. What a great song, I think it'd be good. Kaylee, come on, y'all come on up. I'm going to give you some scripture here, too. We're just singing a song, the Lily of the Valley. You know, we find our strength in the Lord. And in Psalms chapter 29, just the first two verses right here, there's 11 verses in this chapter, but it starts off, it says, "Give unto the Lord, all ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness." And that's what we're going to do today. Amen. Amen. Shout to the Lord.
My Savior, though there is no
on here. One of the greatest songs, y'all can be seen. Thanks, Boston. You know, I just read those verses there. You know, we do find strength in the Lord. You know, without Him, I'm just a very weak person. Just a weak old sinner. But I can find strength in Him. Look at this song right here. It's just a little chorus. Look at the page 573. 573 in the hymn verse there. His strength is perfect.
Oh,
again. We're getting our exercise this morning. Let's do this right here. Let's sing a couple more little songs. Go to page 348. 348.
Oh,
I turn it over to Brother Steve, have a word of testimony or... Mighty quiet this morning. Well, Brother Steve, we will turn it over to you now. Great singing this morning. Thank you all so much.
Bless you, Lord.
Good to see each one of you this morning, and glad that you're here. Really am. And I tell you, when Brother Wayne asked the, I'm going to call up our choir to come up and to sing that song, boy, if the Lord wasn't in that, I don't know what he's in. So that was really, you could really feel the Spirit of the Lord in that.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful that when we come over here and the Lord gets real in the service, there's just something special about it.
Amen.
It really is. And I tell you, I want to be Sister Maggie made mention a while ago in her testimony, I want to be on fire for the Lord. I do. Brother Michael taught on our Sunday school lesson this morning, and the time is at hand. The night is far spent. And when I look at my bucket list, and it's not very big, but when I look at it, and then I look at my age, and I say, there's probably a lot of things on this bucket list that's never going to come to pass. But what difference does it make? Difference does it make? Boy, I'm happy in the Lord. That ought to be the top of my bucket list, to have joy in my heart. And I believe if we do that, all the other little lists would take care of themselves, wouldn't it? Amen. Boy, I love each one of you today because he first loved me. And I'm thrilled about that. And I really appreciate our Sunday school lesson and the testimonies, the singing, everything that's been done. And boy, I've been, those saying all over the place. The last few days in looking at the scripture, I've just been everywhere. And I think it's going to go this direction, and then I'd go to a reference and look at a different place, and then it'd go this direction. And finally, I just said, Lord, please make me know what you want me to do. Just let me know what you want me to do, Lord. And the Lord in his still small voice just calmed me down and led me to this scripture. And I thank him for it today. And I may just read it and just say I love the Lord and sit down. But if I do, that'll be what God sent today. So, the 11th chapter of Genesis, this is concerning the building of the tower there in Babel and how the brakes were put on that work. Chapter of Genesis. The Bible said in the first verse, and the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do.
And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Kind of reminds me of before the flood when God looked down and he saw the condition of mankind. And I think the Bible said that continually their thoughts were on evil. And the Lord kind of looks at this kind of the same way. Somebody said, well, preacher, what's so bad about folks coming together to build a city and to build a tower to heaven? Seemed like to me they wanted to be close to God. But let's read on just a little bit further. He said, let me read this sixth verse again. The Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. He says, go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. And as we begin to look at this, as I mentioned a while ago, at our first glimpse of this scripture, we might think, why does this anger God that these people are doing this? We have to go back and we have to look. After the flood, the Bible said that, and I believe it was in the ninth chapter, it said God makes a covenant with Noah, and in that covenant, he tells Noah that he's never going to destroy the earth with water again. And in order for Noah to be reminded of that covenant, and for us today to be reminded of that covenant, God put a rainbow in the sky. I like that song we sing about that. But God put a rainbow in the sky, and I can't look at a rainbow that I don't think about the covenant that was made with Noah. I just can't look at one. And I see a lot of them. That pasture across the road, if it's just right, if the rain's just right, there's a pot of gold there, and it'll cast the prettiest beam across there. And so as I gaze at the beauty of it, Brother Roger, I have to be reminded of a promise, a covenant that God made with Noah that he'd not flood the earth anymore with water. And so God made this covenant with Noah, and then it goes on a little bit further, and God tells Noah and his family to be fruitful and to multiply and to go out into all parts of the earth and to replenish the land. We understand that the only people that were alive at the end of the flood was Noah and his family and the animals that they had on there with them. So here Noah's instructed to go and to be fruitful and to multiply. Not only Noah, but this also goes to his children. And so a right smart of time passes by after this, and Noah, the Bible says that he lives to be, I think, 950 years old, and the Bible said that he died. But his descendants went on to replenish the earth, and people back then lived a long time. And it come down to a time when evidently, now we got to understand that this was very early in the generations of mankind. So we have to understand that Abraham was not even called yet to call of God. And so people begin to be fearful as they scattered around. They begin to be fearful that if they didn't come together, in unity, the way I understand this, if they didn't come together in unity and be a one people, that they were in danger. Maybe, I don't know, in danger of animals or whatever that it might be. But they thought it good to all come together and to build a city. Now, they were in the plain of Shinar, and evidently this was a good place for everybody to gather together. But I want you to understand, that was not in God's plan for them to all be one people there. That wasn't in his plan. And I know that doesn't sound like God, but that was not in his plan. And so the people decided that they would build a city and a tower that would reach heaven. Now, they weren't being facetious when they talked about building a tower. We look at that now, we think that's the silliest thing we've ever heard. But to them, they actually thought they could build a tower up to heaven. They also thought that they would make a name for themselves. The Bible teaches us that when they all come together there, they encouraged one another in the building of this thing, and they said, we'll make a name for ourselves. A little bit of pride started to come in. And maybe that this tower and this city, after they were dead and gone, that another generation would come and say, boy, look at what these people built, this city and this tower. And maybe they would consider it to be a monument. But isn't it funny that none of the people who were involved in trying to build that city, neither one of them's name is mentioned in history. Not one. So they didn't build anything to be remembered by. They didn't. Of course, the Lord put the brakes on their building, but they were not remembered. All they are remembered for is trying to do something that was unpleasing to God and failing at it because God caused them to fail at it. And so I begin to think about this, and God had every reason when he looked down, and God said we, so he's talking about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, who was still around during that time, who was from the beginning, and he said, let us go down and scatter them, confound their language, and scatter them. Now, God could have said, let us go down and take these bunch of rebels and destroy them. Amen? But he said, let us go down and scatter them, confound their language. And I could almost see, Brother Michael, these people had an assembly line going, and everything was going good. One was putting the mortar on, one was laying brick, and they were real organized. And they had it going. And then all of a sudden, they can't understand what the others say. Boy, can you imagine how that would be? This is not a fairy tale. This happened. I can only imagine what was going on. I work around a lot of Hispanics during the summertime. And boy, did we have a time to communicate. Some of them can say just enough that you can halfway understand what they're... But have you ever had somebody talking to you in another language and you don't have a clue what they're saying? That poor Mexican girl, she this is what I heard. That's what I heard. And she had a facial expression while she was giving it to me. And I'm over there, huh? Finally she went. And I did too, and I went on with what I was doing. Later on in the day, about quitting time, one of the translators that worked with us came to me and said, did you fix the pressure washer? And I said, I didn't know it was broke. Well, she tried to tell you the pressure washer was broke. And I thought, here it is, the end of the day, and if I had understood what she was trying to tell me, it took me 10 minutes to do it.
I said, if she would have been able to tell me what she's trying to tell me, I could fix that thing. She could have been pressure washing all day long. But a lack of understanding and communication was what it was. Was what it was. So I said that to say this. We had a very unaccomplished day just for a lack of being able to communicate. So these people, when God confounded their language, and somebody said, hand me a brick, and they don't know what they're saying, and I can just see them. Forget this. Forget this. We got the foundation of it up. That's about as far as we can go.
Now let me get to where I'm going with this message. There's a wrong way to try to get to heaven today. Now I want you to understand that today. There's a wrong way to try to get to heaven. And I'm concerned in the day and time that we live, and it seems like a lot of folks that I come in contact with appear to me, and maybe I'm taking it wrong, but they appear to me, Brother Bobby, that they're trying to get to heaven the wrong way.
Yeah.
It scares me.
Right.
It scares me. Because hell, according to my understanding, is not just full of people that we would call evil. None of us like child molesters. None of us like bank robbers. But hell is, I believe, got more folks than that in it.
Yes.
And there are folks that were looking the wrong way to try to get to heaven. The Bible said that these people were going to build a tower. That was their intentions. And in this, they were going to make themselves, I believe, equal with God. Amen. And their pride had gotten into their life. I'm afraid today we're living in a day and time where pride has built up in folks' life, and they're trying to pride their way into glory land. It's just not going to work. You know that humbling ourselves is the ticket to getting saved.
Amen.
And it's a have to. It's a must.
Amen.
To get saved. Let's humble ourselves today. And boy, them old preachers, they've about all been gone now. Them old preachers would say, these folks come up here chewing gum, smacking their gum, and laughing and going down the altar. They ain't nothing to it. That's what they'd say. Well, it was right. It was right. So, there's a wrong way to try to get to heaven. Well, preacher, does that mean that there's several right ways that we can go?
No.
There's one way. There used to be bumper stickers back in the 70s that people put on their car, and they call it one way, and they were referring to Jesus Christ being the way. One way to get to heaven. One way to get there. I begin to think about, let me just read it to you. You don't have to turn there. Over in the book of Matthew, and this is Jesus speaking here, he says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another. Now I want you to understand, after God confounded the speech of these people and separated them, and they became tribes and nations all over the world. Unto this day, they are. And the Bible teaches us that since that time, up till now, they have never come together as one. Since that time, never have. We've got in New York City, we've got the United Nations, where we try to bring everybody together. That really hadn't worked. But let me tell you what Jesus says about all the nations coming together. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But a few verses later, this is what he says. Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I said that to say this, that there's only one way to get to heaven.
Amen.
And only one way to avoid going to hell. Now, I'd like to stand up here, and there's a lot of people that believe this, and I'd like to stand up here and tell you that there's a neutral. That if you're not interested in heaven, and you certainly don't want to go to hell, that there's a neutral. But there's not.
Right.
There's not. Hell is going to be full. I don't like preaching a message like that. Hell is going to be full of a lot of folks that paid their taxes on time and were honest with what they did. Hell's going to be full of a lot of folks today that had their families and daddy worked and provided a living for them. Preacher, I don't like hearing this, but it's true. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said in one place, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Preacher, I don't know if I'd have said that. I didn't say it. He did. Jesus is very plain and firm about this. And the reason he is God desires nobody to go to hell. Not one soul does he desire to go there. The Bible says it's his will that none should perish, but all come to repentance. All come to repentance. So there's folks trying every way in the world to get to glory. I'm around folks a lot of the time, Brother Bobby, and you may be too. They'll go to bragging about their church. And I love for folks to brag on their church. I brag on mine. I do. But the kind of bragging they do is they will tell how much they pay their pastor. They will brag on how much they pay their minister of music. How much they pay their secretary. They will brag about what they have spent on the beautiful building. Now, I don't have anything against that. I've been in some beautiful churches, and those pipes sticking up, they just look awesome. But they are bragging on what we've done. What we've done. What we've done. And a while ago, when you could really feel the Spirit of the Lord in that music, and tears begin to well up in my eyes, I don't know that they've ever felt bad. I don't know if they've ever felt bad. Because if you feel that, and you're thankful for that, the last thing you're going to do is go around telling folks what I've done. What I've done for my church. I tell people I ain't done nothing for them. Yes, boy, they've done a lot for me. And I'm serious.
Yes, sir.
There's a wrong way to try to get to heaven today. And it's due time that we, as God's people, warn folks, amen, about the right way to glory. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And I love this. He didn't tell Nicodemus it would be your best interest to be born again.
Come on, preacher.
He didn't tell Nicodemus it would be a good idea and helpful for you to be born again. He didn't tell Nicodemus it would be a very great asset for you to be born again. But But he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And praise God today, Jesus will explain things and he'll get it where we can understand it today.
Amen.
Nicodemus was just like I was. What do you mean, Lord? Go back in my mama's womb again and be born a second time? No, that's not what I mean, Nicodemus. Marvel not that I said, you must be born again. The only way today that we have any hope is that to be born again through Jesus Christ, amen, our Savior, today. That's the only way. God would show later on, after he confounded the language of this people and he stopped the silly building of this city, later on, he would show them, preacher, what about those that died back yonder, even before Abraham? What about them? I believe that those that died believing and trusting in God and believing that there was a coming Messiah coming, I believe they're just as saved today as any person is. Amen. Because see, we serve a just God, and he wouldn't do that generation one way and us another. I'm glad I live in the day of grace. I really am. We've got it good, folks. We really do.
Amen.
We have got it good.
Right.
What if it was required of us to do animal sacrifices? Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Cheap as I am, man, what I'd be trying to give. But I'm telling you today, there's only one way to get there. And not only do I want to try to reach the drug addict on the street or the drunk in the gutter, but I want to reach that one that thinks he's doing okay, but he's not. But
yeah,
he's not. Preacher, you're judging. No, I'm not judging. The Bible says you'll know a tree by the fruit that it bears. The Bible said, what about Jacob's ladder, preacher? The Bible said that Jacob had a dream. And in that dream, God showed him a ladder that reached from earth up to heaven. And the Bible said that Jacob saw angels ascending and descending upon that ladder. What do you think that ladder was? That wasn't Jesus Christ. I don't know what he is. Now that was just a vision that he had. That was a dream. He didn't literally see a ladder reaching. But God showed him and impressed Jacob so much that he thought, Lord, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Amen. That's how it impressed him. Have you ever been in a good service where you could really feel the Spirit of the Lord? I don't have to go back to a few days ago. I can go back to a few minutes ago when I could feel the presence of the Lord, and I could surely say the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So that ladder that Jacob was seeing long before Jesus Christ was born in the manger, amen, he saw that ladder and angels ascending and descending from it. That doorway was Jesus Christ. That access was Jesus Christ today.
Amen.
I don't think we can preach and sing about it enough. I really don't. I really don't. There's only one way. One way. What I'd like for you to do as we try to shut her down, what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to look at yourself, each one of us, look at ourselves. Not how somebody else sees us, not how we think we see ourselves, but look at ourselves and say, do I meet the qualifications to go to heaven? Think about it. Oh, now, preacher, you're saying it's by works. No, no. Works will follow. Certainly they will.
But do you meet the qualifications today
to go to heaven?
If you think about that. This is so important today. I'd whole lot rather be preaching on how the Lord has blessed Liberty Hill Church, and I love the Lord, and I do, but folks are dying and going to hell. Maybe the Sunday school lesson kind of woke me up, Brother Michael. Folks are dying and going to hell. At 30-something years old, I looked in the mirror, and I thought, man, time has really passed by. Lord, there's a lot of things that I planned on doing. And the Lord showed me the most important thing in the world was reaching folks. Reaching folks. So today, as you evaluate yourself, and we see ourselves as God sees us. When God looks at me, this flesh that you're looking at, He don't see much. He don't see much. But when He looks at what He did to me as a young boy, when I cried out for Him to save my soul, and He reached down and I reached up, and somehow or another we made contact. When He sees that, when He sees that, amen, He says, that's one of mine. That's one of mine. There is no point for any church member, listen to me, there is no point for any church member to go through their life thinking that everything's right, or maybe a little bit nervous because it's maybe not right. We shouldn't have to be that way. You can know that I know that I know that I know where I'm going.
Man.
Where I'm going.
Happy boy.
So please, look at yourself. I'll look at myself. Let's see how God sees us. And the good news about this is, if you're found in the balances and you're found wanting, you're lacking, so to speak. The good news is the remedy's right here. It's right here. What a sad time it would be at church if we preached dying and going to hell and no remedy.
That's,
wouldn't that be depressing? But we've got remedy. And the Lord wants to save all people. The devil will tell you, but you've done this, you've done that, you've done it. You don't think God knows that? He knows. He knows. It's been a good service today. I wish it had been on something else, but this is what God sent. Yeah, preacher, we've got a real fine church. Amen. We got more money coming in than we know what to do with. What did Brother John say a little bit ago in Sunday school? The woman that was being betrayed standing before the Lord, paid my tithes. I was there every Sunday. But he said, I don't see the blood. Where's the blood? Where's the blood? I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to ask Brother Wayne to get us a song. And I'm going to ask you to please, please, this ain't for my sake or anybody else but yours today, that you would evaluate and see if truly you're right with God today. Maybe you've been saved and you've been like I've been, and
not in fellowship with God. And that's a miserable feeling. You can come and get that thing fixed with God today. You can. You can. The time is far spent. Amen. The day is at hand. Time's running out. Preacher, I've heard time's running out all my life. I have too. But do you know that time is running out for me? It is. Running out for you. I don't care if God tarries his coming 600 years. Time's running out for us today. We're on the, praise the Lord, Brother Ed said we're in the Saturday evening time. I've heard him say that. We're down to the amen corner. Amen. And how we leave this walks of life is how we'll stand before God in judgment. That's as simple as I know how to put it. We can get our ears tickled with all kind of ways to heaven. I've been good. I've done this. I've done that. But until we come to realize that it's humbling ourselves before God, admitting we're a sinner, and admitting we need a Savior, and believing in the saving of our soul, without that, there is no hope for us.
That's right. 3:30. 3:30. Are you washed in the blood?